church and pray for me, because I want to have a family that's completely alive for God. I want to have a family that when I walk in the door, I can feel His presence in my house.
Amen.
I know it's coming. I know God's coming back. I don't want to be short. I don't know how all short is for you, because I'm perfect like God. I just pray for the living in our community. I pray for our families. I mean, guys, it's up to us. I mean, it's up to the men in the family. It's up to the men in the community. I just feel God just pull up my heart when I was standing there. I was just like, oh my gosh, Lord, help me to say what you want me to say. Help me to say what's right. Help me to say what. And you know what? God's great, guys. I mean, it's what you not feeling. I mean, I mean, I know, and I felt the support, but it's great. And I was just sitting there, she got to take Ellie out. But, you know, God has provided me with so many things. I mean, I can tell, like, there are other people's life right now, but they're all like, I know He's helping us grow. He's helping Ashley grow. He's helping me grow. But, you know, every day it struggles. I'm like, gosh, why did I do that? Why did I say this? And God just pulls me back and it's like, listen to me. Listen to me, I'm talking to you. Listen to me. Listen to me. God's taken over my life. And it's just such a struggle each and every day. Men, women, just pray that, you know, we can align ourselves under God and that we just continue to grow.
Thank you, Lord, for all the love and all the mercy that you show us, Lord. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross, who will soon return again, Lord, to take us with him. We just thank you for all the glory and honor that you have, Lord. We thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. We ask you, Lord, just to be with us always, wrap your arm around us, keep us protected. We pray for the men of this community, Lord. We pray for the families in this community. We pray that Satan gets behind us in the name of Jesus. We pray that Satan moves out of our way. We pray for, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name.
Father, I just thank you for that holy fire that touched that young man's heart. Father, we so desire that. So much in our own lives, but that we'll be on fire each and every day for our families, for our community, for our loved ones. Lord, that's the norm in Christianity, is to be on fire for God every single day. That is our heart's desire. And I know, Lord, that even today, that is your will, that we would leave this place today in a greater anointing with the Word of God
seize those opportunities, not take for granted all that we have and say, oh, I feel sorry for that person. Help to change their life, Lord. Help us to reach out, to give that hug, to give that kind word, to help them, lift them up, Lord, through your love, not by our own doing, but through you, Lord. We love you and praise you.
Grew up where spending time with God was something that I had to do or was forced to do, or that I would get rewarded if I would spend time with God. And so I kind of had this aversion towards God. And for the longest time, I kind of, you know, I'd spend time with God, but I would sort of have this aversion, really. I would be almost afraid to go into the presence of God because of what He might do in my life, or I felt like I had something missing or I was ashamed. But in Jesus Christ, we have all we need, and we have this Word of God that is life. One word on the page brings life, and I think it brings renewal. And as we talked on Wednesday about bringing God in our consciousness, bringing God in every part of our life instead of saying, okay, God, you're going to fit in this corner. It's bringing God to every area. And when we look in our passage today, and I'm not going to go into everything, but only what God wants me to speak today. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, it says, this is not the way you have learned Christ. And just while you're turning there, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about our condition before we were saved. But now that we are saved, now that we have Jesus Christ in our life, and if you don't, I urge you to repent and turn to Christ today. Because you don't know if we have tomorrow. But when we have Christ, we have truth, and we can overcome the darkness of our understanding. I don't know about you, but I'm done striving and trying to be spiritual. That just doesn't work. God wants us to lay down our works, our striving, and look at what Jesus Christ has done. And when we come in Ephesians, when it says we're called by God, in the beginning of Ephesians, we're elect, we're His favorite. He's chosen you. He's given you salvation. He's given you the Holy Spirit as a deposit in your heart. And then when we come to this, He says, this is not the way you've learned Christ, assuming that you heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, we talked about we all want to change and we all want to grow. And when He uses that verb, learning Christ, it means having a relationship with Him. And I want to ask you, relationship with Jesus is more than just coming to church or having religion in our lives. or teaching Sunday school, or going to meetings, or praying, or going to these worship things. It's a living, it's a live relationship. And so when I had that aversion to go, because I was thinking about getting my tank refueled, I was like, this is what I have to do to be a good Christian. But when we talk about going in the presence of God, if I'm going to be with somebody, I'm going to be with Jesus. He says, this is how you've learned Christ. The way you've learned Christ is the truth. It's having a personal relationship with Him. And this is not something that I can give you or going to church can give you. It's something only you can enter into through the work of Jesus on the cross by saying yes. And going to meet with God in an encountering way and say, God, I just want to be with you today. You know what? I had all these things in my mind. Like, okay, if I have my devotional time, I have to read. I have an hour of prayer, and then I have to read this long passage of Scripture. Just go be with God. Read one verse if you need to for that moment or for that day. Just go be with God. Just enjoy God. And He's given us the Word of God, which is our life. And, you know, I've struggled in my own life, as you have heard many times, with discouragement, with depression. The Word of God is the life. I just wasn't savoring it. I just wasn't encountering Jesus in it. I just wasn't taking it into my heart. I was just reading it in an academic sense. Because God's Word is alive. And when we read those things, man, they're nuggets of truth. Christian's response today, and then I don't know about you, in the worship time, our response to something like, how great is our God, or hungry I come to you, you know how that excites the heart and the soul. It should, because we're going to be with a person. We're going to be with a living God who's given us words in a book, but it doesn't stop there. He says, you've heard about Christ. And it's interesting in the Greek there, what he means is that you heard Christ speak. Now, who in here was alive during the time that Jesus walked the earth and you heard Him teach on the Mount of Olives? Anybody? Nobody's that old in here. Some of us are getting close to being that old. What that literally means is when He says you experience the Word of Christ, when you read a passage of the Scripture, it's not just something like we just take that verse, assuming that you heard about Him and were taught in Him. And verse 22 says, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life. So when we read just a phrase like that, that's Jesus speaking a personal word to your heart. So here's what I want to challenge you to do, as I'm challenging, God is challenging my own life. Every time you pick up the Bible, you know, I even thought about doing some things this week. I thought about putting Bibles on all the tables in the house. And when I walk by, I'm just going to read a verse and savor it. You know why? Because I want God to be in every part of my life. As Christian expressed that same thing today. So when we hear about Christ, it means we experience Him. So here's the thing. Here's the kicker. You have to be in God's Word. Not just studied academically. They see pastors study the Word academically, but sometimes don't get in it to themselves, for themselves. We're talking about encountering God. Hearing the voice of God. So the next time you read a verse, I want you to think about that as God speaking directly to you. That's His voice to you. Does God speak today? Yes, He does, through His Word. It says in another passage of Scripture, in the past times God has spoken through prophets, but now He has spoken to us through His Son, and that is a relationship with Him. That is a dynamic calling to be real with Him and to savor those moments of truth. And then He goes on to the third verb there. He says, you've learned Christ, you've heard about Him, and were taught in Him. And it's interesting how it says you were not taught about Him. He says you were taught in Him. So James Boyce would put it this way. Jesus is the atmosphere within which teaching takes place. So not only is Jesus teaching about Himself, He is Himself. Think about that for a moment. You were taught in Christ. He is the teacher, but He's the subject that's being taught about, and He is the subject. And so that's why he words it. He says, you're not learning about Christ, you're in Christ. He is the atmosphere that we're in. So when we go into the Word of God, it's not just an academic thing. We're going in the atmosphere of Jesus Christ. We're going into the presence of God with His power at work in our lives. And so when we're taught in Christ, Jesus is the atmosphere. Now, true transformation, you might be here today and you say, you know what, I've tried to change my life. I'm right there with you. I want to grow. I know that's the heart's desire. And when you develop that desire, you start to become hungry. You're not going to change. You're not going to overcome your addictions by self-discovery. I spent a lot of years trying to figure out myself. It's still a mystery. Maybe, Tom, you can figure myself out a little bit better than I can, but it doesn't produce the results that psychology promises. I could try every angle and figure out about this and about that, about, you know, like men trying to figure out women, right? Just give it up. Give it up and enjoy. Give it up and enjoy Jesus Christ. And so when we come to Him, transformation begins with Jesus Himself. Being alive, learning to listen and be taught about Jesus. So here's the key to spiritual growth. And it's so easy, it's so simple. It's not being academic in the Bible, but it's becoming hungry for the Bible. So unless you reach that point of humility where you're able to be on your knees and say, "You're all I need, Jesus," Bible study is not going to be a thing. You'll still be a Sunday morning only Christian. But when you come to that place where Jesus Christ is your all in all, you're going to want to get into the Word of God. You're going to get taught at church. You're going to want to be in a Bible study. You're going to be so hungry for God. You're going to want to get all that you can get. But it begins by a change of attitude. And here's the thing in the text he says that I'm going to key on right now. In verse 22, he says, "To put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds." Unless you got an attitude adjustment, you're not going to want Bible study. I know people in the church, and including myself, for years and years and years of trying to change and grow spiritually, but unless we get a new attitude, it's not going to happen. Because notice how he words that there. He says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your minds," or attitude of your minds, "and put on the new self." So if we're going to live in righteousness and holiness, we have to have a whole new attitude adjustment in our lives. What is that word attitude? It means a disposition or influence which fills or governs the soul of anyone. It's the source of power or affection or emotion. So when the Holy Spirit moves in and we allow Him to govern our soul, we'll get a whole new attitude about learning the Word of God, about encountering Jesus. So I want to challenge you to one thing today. And don't get me wrong, I want to spend more time in all that passage because it's filled with so much stuff. But I think the thing today for us, it's time to chuck the old attitudes. It's time to say, "Jesus, I'm done with the do-it-yourself kind of theology. Jesus, I'm done with trying to play church and act religious on the outside and look at the Bible as an academic thing. I invite you to come in and change my attitude and bring me to humility before the cross and allow God to change me from the inside out." There's habits. And I will share this. You know, neurosurgeons and scientists have studied the brain. And it doesn't take very long for a habit to be learned. There's a certain part of our brain, which I'm not going to give you the name of it. I'm just going to tell you the parts because that's going to belabor and be confusing. But there's one part of our brain that makes decisions. And then there's another part of our brain, what happens when a habit forms, that controls our emotions and feelings and thoughts. So when I do something over and over again, like I brush my teeth at the same order and at the same time every day, you all have things like that. You get up and you eat breakfast. And if it gets out of order, some of you are just cranky as could be because your habits are out of place. Or think about driving a car. Is it possible that you go down the road, you can push the gas at the same time, you can turn it, and you can talk to somebody? Why? Because of habit. That part of your brain kicks in, and so the decision part can rest, or it can be free to do other things. So when a habit forms in that one part of your mind, it makes a pathway or a track. And so once that habit is learned, that pathway in your brain is what you're going to do. So when we come to Christ, we have a lot of old paths to undo. And scientists have studied, and there is a belief passing around from the 50s that said it takes 21 days to change a habit. Well, recently they've studied and say, man, this thing is inconclusive. Because it could take more than a year, some people 2 years, to break a bad habit. But there's no mistake in that, in the science of that. Because when God says, and He calls us to be a Christian, to put off and to put on, we're talking about not something like, well, I've arrived now, I put everything on, I've grown spiritually like I need to grow, and this is it, I'm done. I put off my old bad clothes and now I put on. No, He says put off and put on as a continuous sense. A continuous relationship, because that is the only way a bad habit is going to be broken in our lives, is if we continually go before the throne of God, is if we can continually open up the Word of God and be with Jesus. That's the Christian life. That's going to break a bad habit, a bad attitude. There's no program, there's no set way, other than continuing to put off and put on. That's the answer in Scripture. And we're going to get into more details in the coming week of that. It's put off, put on. Put off the old self, put on the new self. But continually do it. Continually bring yourself into the presence of God. Continually be conscious of Him. So I'm going to challenge you to be Bible people now. Put Bibles everywhere in your house. Put pages. Put it on your mirrors. And when you go throughout the day, put it on your desk at work. And you start to get off track, those old habits start to kick in. We're going to wash those old habits away by looking at a word of Scripture. Find those Scriptures that help you in that particular area of your life. We're going to work together as the body of Christ and help each other get rid of those old pathways and create the new ones that God has meant for us to live in. This is what we're created to do. These old habits are not what God meant for us to live in. But what Jesus has called, He says, I'm going to renew your mind. I'm going to put you in a new place now. God has called us to this time of renewal and repentance in our lives. But are you going to be willing to be broken? That sounds pretty generic, right? But I want you to just stop and let those words think. Are you willing to be broken by the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to throw away your ideas of what it means to change? Say, Jesus, I just want to be with you. I want to get all the Word of God I can. You know, I want to be like the people in these third world countries that will travel just to go to a church meeting to hear the Word of God taught by a preacher. They will walk on foot for 3 hours in the rain and the mud, just because they want to get more. And then if you preach for an hour, they'll think you're a bad preacher. Because they want more. They're hungry. So I want to pray that God will give us that spiritual hunger in our lives. Is there anything that anyone else needs to add to this today? It's good to be in a holy days. Let's go. Yeah.
I'm just thankful to be here today and the evidence of the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad my granddaughter was here with me. I was feeling the Holy Spirit moving me during the congregation worship. And she saw that. Mindy Walthart, and she saw me get moved, she put her arm around me. A couple weeks ago, she said she wants to be baptized.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?